This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa qala ta'ala, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as I mentioned in my last Jumu'ah reminder a couple of weeks ago, that we will certainly put you to test and trial with something of fear, of hunger, and of loss of wealth, loss of life, and of crop. Give glad tidings to those who are patient and steadfast, the sabireen. Those who, when any kind of calamity ensues upon them, or they're faced with it, they say, surely we belong to Allah and to Him is our return. Brothers and sisters, trials and tribulations of the world will always continue, and we're on in a particular one that the whole of humanity is facing at the moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in iman and make us of those who have sabr. But this statement of the sabireen, and to understand sabr, is when they say, surely we belong to Allah, to Him is our return, is not a blasé statement. What do I mean? It's not just sit back, it doesn't matter, whatever happens, who cares? We come from Allah, we're going to go back there. In other words, any kind of destruction takes place, we don't take any kind of precautions. It doesn't matter, we come from Allah, we're going back to. That's not the attitude that's being put there. Allah's saying, He put you to test. Doesn't mean to say we don't take any precautions against fear. We just let any kind of fear come. Doesn't mean to say we don't take any precautions in regards to famine and hunger. So we just sit there idle and we say, yeah, we're being patient. We trust in Allah. We're going to go back to Him anyway. Doesn't mean to say we don't take any precautions in regards to loss of life, whether it's through disease or illness, or loss of crop or wealth. Yeah, we make no plans. Yeah. And just sit idly. That is complete misunderstanding of Islam. Yeah? And complete misunderstanding of the sabireen and those who rely and trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, sabr, brothers and sisters, is a very active process. It's not a passive fold your arms and just let the Mahdi come or the last day come and we're not going to do anything. Whatever ensues falls upon us, we just sit there and say, oh yeah, trust in Allah. Sabr is very active. It means patience, steadfastness, fortitude, yeah, making a striving, yeah, with all that we have available in our means, which requires very much, this sabr requires tawakkul, yeah, which is complete reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, complete reliance. But this tawakkul is also one of the most misunderstood things in regards to Muslims I'm talking about. And never mind others, in regards to Muslim. Tawakkul is not a passive condition of just I do nothing or whatever I do, it doesn't matter, tawakkul ala Allah. No. In fact, I've heard and seen people over the years of my life use the word tawakkul ala Allah when they're actually not being efficient, not being sensible, when they're being actually jahil and ignorant, and then just say tawakkul ala Allah because they haven't really done things properly, yeah? As Islam has taught us, when we do something, do it with ihsan, to the best of our ability. But we've forgotten this sunnah of Rasulullah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions mutawakkilin, those who are completely reliant on Allah. Well, look what He says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, part of the ayah, وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرُ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then after that to us, and telling him, so take consultation in any kind of issues, yeah, in the issues that you're planning, take consultation, yeah, And then فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ, then you made, when you've made a decision about any kind of issue, so you're doing all the work, the planning after consultation, and you make a decision on doing certain things or thing, then فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Yeah, then have complete reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely Allah loves those who are reliant on Him. In regards to Hajj and Umrah, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you don't just turn up any holder. وَتَزَوَّدُوا, Allah says when He mentions Hajj. So make preparations. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. So the best of preparation is taqwa. Doesn't mean taqwa is the only thing you turn up with. Yeah? Otherwise you misunderstood taqwa. Yeah? It's saying taqwa is crucial. It is the key. But make preparation. So we do make preparation. We don't just turn up any. You have to make travel plans. You have to have enough money. You have to arrange agents. You have to arrange accommodation. You have to make sure the family behind are provided for while you go away. Yeah, ulama discussed all this. Nowadays, you have to get vaccine injections, a certificate, a visa, yeah, passports in order. Otherwise, there's no way you can do Hajj and Umrah. So that's all part and parcel of that. That's why, at one time, in fact, at the time of Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu an, when he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, he found some people from Yemen who were sitting around the Kaaba. كانوا يسألون حول الكعبة. They were begging at the Kaaba, yeah, at the time of the pilgrimage. Umar asked them, what are you doing? They said, نَحْنُ مُتَوَكِّلُونَ. We are those who are reliant on Allah. Umar was cross with them. He said, بل لستم متوكلون متوكلين لستم متوكلين بل أنتم متوكلون. Yeah, and he told them off. He said, you're not being those who are reliant on Allah, you're like a bunch of beggars. It's a pretense. In other words, you misunderstood what tawakkul is. You made no preparation, you just turned up begging. Yeah, you're not lifting a finger to actually strive to do something, and then you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, kill her. What fatawakkal? Yeah, tie it, meaning the animal, then trust in Allah that it's not going to run away. Yeah, so this understanding of tawakkul and reliance on Allah is really misunderstood in our community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you look at that, I mean, the misunderstood idea of tawakkul is like, well, virus is around, it. Yeah, if I'm going to catch it, I'm going to catch it, yeah? You know, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'll mix with all kinds of things, yeah? Might as well send you to the intensive care, go and spend a day there and see what the doctors and nurses are going through, putting themselves and their lives in danger for all kinds of people, see what real illness is, yeah? This is this kind of attitude. This is the blasé attitude of misunderstanding and jahil attitude of tawakkul. That's like standing in front of a bus and saying, I trust in Allah. Yeah, of course, it's only Allah who decides whether you're going to die or not. But that's not the meaning of tawakkul. Yeah, that's like somebody putting their hand in the fire and say, tawakkul Allah, you may as well do that as well. Yeah, if you're going to treat the coronavirus like that, that's the kind of idea you have. Do nothing, say nothing, and just say tawakkul Allah. Blasé attitude. This is not. This is a misunderstanding of the beauty of this deen, which is a deen that is based on rationale and understanding according to our fitrah. Yeah? And so if you look at the hadith that I mentioned last time, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the hadith reported by Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha in Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions about ta'un or the plague or the pandemic coming, any kind, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that it is a rahmah, Ja'alallahu rahmatan lil mu'mineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this kind of thing as mercy to the believers. What do they do? Iza yaqal ta'un. Iza yaqal ta'un, when the pandemic comes, infection, fayamkus fi baladi. They don't, he didn't say they trust in Allah. No, he said that they do something. You have to do something as well. Yeah, whatever is available to your ability, means and understanding and medical advancement. So what they had at the time, Prophet ﷺ said, فَيَمْكُسْ فِي بَلَدِي. Yeah, and that believer, they stay put. In that regard, it was stay put in their land. So it can mean stay put in the home if the government decides, if the medical advice is that. Staying put is an action that has to be taken. Yes, yeah, that can include wearing masks. Yeah, because the idea is to create a barrier for those infected from those who are not infected to stop it spreading. Then Allah SWT, after saying they take some action like for Yamkus, Sabiran Muhtasiban, of course, Sabiran, then they're trusting in Allah after they take the precautions and the actions. Yeah, with patience, expecting, yeah, an expectance with rewards from Allah, knowing that La yusibuhu illa ma kataballahu la. After they've done all the precautions, they are fully reliant that only they'll get infected if Allah has decreed that. Yeah? They don't stand in front of the bus and then say, it'll only happen if Allah's decreed it. Yeah? And that would be nonsensical. You know, some people had this idea in regards to masajid. Yeah? That why are we not, mosques shouldn't be closed, blah, blah, blah. This is against Islam. Subhanallah, this is a mis. This make statements like that is a misunderstanding of Islam, I would say. Don't stop us out because it's all right. Pray. Some would even have it, actually, in the community. I know very well. If it wasn't imposed on them, they would turn up at the mosque without a mask, without the sajadid of their own, and not stand a meter or 2 meters apart. They'll stand next to each other and they'll say, Tawakkal ala Allah. I mean, this is stupidity. This is jahala. This is against the understanding of Islam. This is against the Prophet ﷺ, who's already said in the hadith, stay put. You're not staying put. You're not staying put. You're removing the barrier that he's trying to put in place to stop it, stopping the infection. So you're going against the sunnah of Rasulullah. Further, some actually even said, and I was surprised and shocked to hear, and some imams even mentioned it, some scholars, one or two I have even respect for, and I still call them a scholar. One scholar I heard in London who actually said, brothers and sisters, carry on praying in the masjid because that will also provide you immunity from the virus. Subhanallah. We shouldn't make statements like that. This is a statement which is lacking knowledge. Did he do test and trial medical on those who prayed in the mosque, which is actually vast majority of men? Yeah, because of the ideas we have there, the women don't even go to the mosque in vast majority of cases. So forget them. They're not going to have any immunity according to this. So did he do tests and trials for those who prayed 5 times? Is it once in the mosque that it produces immunity, or does it have to be 5 times or 4 times or 3 times? That's the first question. Secondly, did he do tests and trials to check the antibodies and the levels of each of these musallin to see that they had higher antibody against the virus after they'd prayed in the mosque? Yeah. If he hasn't done that, how can he make that claim? Number one. Number two. Number three, does that mean if I do my salah alone at home, I don't have any immunity? Yeah. Or do I have some? And does it mean, therefore, the salah that I do in jama'ah, which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned has 25 to 27 times more reward, and I do it in jama'ah in my home with my family, yeah, in lockdown, I don't get immunity? Questions? All questions. This is shows you the nonsensicalness of this argument. Yeah? Yeah? Nonsensical of this argument. Some said, it's reducing the iman of people who are not praying in the mosque. Subhanallah. I can understand, yeah, okay, if they're not praying in the mosque and they stop praying at home, I can understand their iman going down. Something wrong with the problem of the iman already if they're not praying. Salah came 5 times a day and Allah made the whole of the earth a masjid. Yeah? Yeah, and a tahura, place for doing cleansing and wudu, etc. So the whole place is masjid anyway. And subhanallah, we're not going to the mosque out of it's nice times, everybody's having fun and laughter, and we decide not to turn up at the mosque, which is at the best mustahab, highly recommended anyway. Yeah, yeah. But we're doing it because we've been prevented because of the coronavirus, because of the danger to life. That will not decrease your iman, but increase your iman when you're having to pray at home individually, making dua and pleading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away the waba, yeah, the pandemic. That increases iman. This situation increases iman for those who believe and even pray salah individually at home, subhanallah. And how is it that we can criticize and say, don't stop praying in the mosque, when we've got a COVID situation which involves death at large scale and serious illness, when the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the hadith I reported to you last time from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, which is mentioned as Sahih Hadith in Sahih Muslim, where he mentions the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at the time when it's just raining outside and muddy, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Mu'adhin, instead of saying, Hayya ala salah, come to prayer, he told the Mu'adhin to say, Sallu fi buyutikum, Sallu fi buyutikum, pray in your homes. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yeah, part of the lawgiver himself of Islam, yeah, who's recommending you to pray in the mosque, he's saying, in the case of rain only, pray in your home. Can you imagine that when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives the order to the Mu'adhin to call that, that any Sahabi is going to disobey the order of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and turn up to the mosque to pray when he says, pray in your homes as an order? Can you imagine that? Saying, no, we can't stop praying in the mosque, yeah? Yeah, and he did that, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for just the case issue of rain. Yeah, the issue of rain. This is the lawgiver, Allah and His Messenger, who orders salah in the masjid, is highly recommended. Yeah, who's given the order to pray in your homes in the situation of rain. What would be the situation? Which is more serious, COVID-19 or rain? Ask yourself, brothers and sisters, and you have your answer. In the end, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't send any illness that he also sent for it a cure except for death. So seek the cure. That was the order from the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah? Part of cure, treatment is quarantine. Yeah, part of that is, as practiced and statements from the Prophet ﷺ in many statements and authentic hadith to be practiced like that, the quarantine idea. Whether it can be in the land or in the home or with masks, all these kind of things. Yeah. So, and part of it is prevention. That's part of the cure as well. As quarantine can be prevention, and so are vaccines in that sense as well. Part of the way of battling with this kind of disease and illness. Now, when it comes to vaccines, Subhanallah, we really have an issue in our community, a Muslim community, and we have to look at ourselves. Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. Yeah, but unfortunately, why is it that we fall for not listening to the experts, including the British Board of Imams and Scholars, and many, many, many experts, Muslims even, and they don't have to be Muslims, in the field of immunology and vaccines and infectious disease, not listening to that, but listening to some quacks here and there who are rampant on social media. And this is a danger with Sheikh Google or Dr. Google or Expert Google. People get all kinds of things. Let me clarify a few things for our community, brothers and sisters. Of course, it depends on whether you have any trust and reliance on what I say anyway. I can't make everybody listen in my community, but I can only tell you what my understanding of the deen is, and also I have a background in medicine as well. Vaccines, some people spread the idea, oh, it's got gelatin in it. There is no gelatin in any of the vaccines that we have available at the moment in regards to COVID-19. Let's make that clear. And even if there was gelatin, there is clear difference of opinion amongst the ulama about the chain state of whether the gelatin, even if it comes from an animal which is haram itself, like the pig, or whether it's been slaughtered in a haram way, like the sheep or the cow, when the gelatin comes from, there's something called istihala, a chain state, which Hanafiya especially talk about, but don't practice, unfortunately, in this situation. Many of them, some of them do. And that allows for that gelatin to be used. There is no gelatin in these vaccines, but I'm saying even that would be, even something haram in regards to medication, it is well known in the Muslim scholarship, is the maxim is, al-dharurat tabihul mahdurat, that the necessity of saving life and preventing serious illness makes that which is haram allowable. Yeah. So in medicinal situation, when there's no alternative, then in that situation, even haram ingredients are allowed to be taken to safeguard life and serious illness. But there is no haram. There's no gelatin in these. Some said, oh, it's got fetal cells from babies aborted. It's nonsense. There's no fetal cells in any vaccine. Some fetal cell from 1970 was used because viruses have a medium, but the process has gone so there's no fetal cells, full stop. I haven't got time to explain every little nitty-gritty detail. Somebody said some people have been spreading around, they're putting a chip inside you so they can monitor and watch what you're doing and who you are and what your likes and dislikes are. Well, actually, they already know that. We don't need a chip. Everybody's mobile phone, yeah, already, you don't need to be on anything, yeah. People who want to know can listen to what you're doing and know where you are, who you are, know much about us already. Yeah? What are we going to be afraid of as believers anyway? Yeah, if we're not up to something dodgy, then there's nothing for us to be afraid of, because we've got Allah and He's sent His angels recording every little nooky cranny detail. We already have that belief. Yeah? So what do we need to fear in that regard? There is no chip inside. It's absolute nonsense being peddled out there. Others saying, oh, it causes infertility. No, no. So what we have on the basis, vaccines, brother and sister, you should know, out of the whole of medication, yeah, has had a massive impact in safeguarding, preventing death and in safeguarding serious illness. In many serious illnesses, from polio to tetanus to yellow fever to measles, etc., etc., it's a long list. Worldwide, it saved so many lives, and it's the most used kind of medication by thousands of percents compared to all other medication, because it's being given at such a massive scale, and all of us have had them. So in line with vaccines, these have come with that background of experience, and in a similar way, they have been produced. Yeah. So vaccines, if actually I was to look at the side effects, even of everyday Calpol paracetamol that we take for headache, if you open the piece of paper and look at the possible side effects, you would never take paracetamol again, I assure you, brother and sister. So let's not actually become dumbfounded or stupid in this regard. Vaccines have been produced, and what we look at here is harm and benefit. We look at harm and benefit on an individual level, yeah? And what is that? That in the end, is it better to be vaccinated, yeah, from COVID-19 and the side effects possible with the vaccine, compared to if you catch COVID-19 and the possible side effects of that, which is well known. And that comes into play, especially when you're elderly. That comes into play, especially if you're elderly from the Asian population, and especially if you have things like diabetes already, and which is rampant in the Asian community, especially in the elder populations over 60s, etc. Yeah, that chance of death and serious illness of coronavirus really goes up compared to, yes, we haven't got any long-term experience accepted, but what we have is an emergency situation at the moment, yes? And if that vaccine, yeah, actually, even if we find that if we give 1 million vaccines, and this is where the individual versus the community situation comes, of benefit versus harm from an Islamic point of view. If we had 1 million people take the vaccine, yeah, and 5 people or 10 people died from them. Now, compared to 1 million people catching the coronavirus, yeah, and many factors are at work, and then perhaps 100 people or 200 people or more, yeah, die from them, then you can see where clearly the harm versus the benefit. So at the harm of the individual, the community will be protected. That's where the priority will be given, yeah? Yeah, so we haven't got that situation where 1 million vaccines cause 10 deaths, etc. We have some reports going around, but whether it's from Norway or Germany, they're not corroborated. It needs more. There's coincidental death in very elderly people who've got many illnesses anyway. Okay, so of course it needs observing, a closer eye looking on it, but we've got an emergency situation. Yeah, so clearly from what I've seen, taking of the vaccine by far outweighs the spread of the infection of COVID-19, and especially in certain categories of people, and that is those, I would say, especially in the elderly population, and especially in the Muslim Asian community. Yeah. So I would urge people, and you know, we also have a responsibility, finally, to the wider community. If I can be, you know, go around blasé saying, oh, I'm not going to take it, blah, blah, blah. But actually, it's not just about you as an individual. If you're not taking it, or a group of you not taking it, and perhaps you weren't going to get serious illness, but it causes the virus through you to spread to others who are elderly, perhaps in your own family, and this has happened to many, by the way, yeah, who were blasé, and then it spread in their family, and the elders in their family actually perished from coronavirus. What kind of responsibility do you hold with that regard? And that happens on a community level. You are going to be held responsible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I feel in the end, there's a duty. Yeah, this is Islam is about selflessness and caring for others, not just a me attitude. And I believe part of that duty is that responsibility to others. And I mean Muslims and non-Muslim. I mean to humanity, brothers and sisters. Yeah. You know, when you go into hospital, the non-Muslim doctors and nurses don't say, oh, it's a Muslim, you know, we don't want them to survive. And therefore, when we make our dua as well, it shouldn't be also just, oh, Allah, give shifa to the Muslims. No, give shifa to human beings out there, the sick and the ill, our neighbors, yeah, our, you know, people in our community, the doctors and the nurses, ya Allah, yeah. And this is... I'm sorry, the khutbah's a bit long, but I felt that I needed to say some things. Be careful, yeah. Be warned, brother and sister. If you are one of those spreading without knowledge and medicine is not your field, and you're not an alim in the field of Islam, and you are spreading rumors, yeah, which you've been convinced about, which may cause the death or serious illness of others, you will be held responsible and before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be very careful what you've put forward and spread. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, forgive us, keep us guided on Sirat al-Mustaqim, this beautiful deen of enlightening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins. Have mercy on the souls of those who have passed away. Give shifa to all those who are ill in hospital and outside hospital. May Allah SWT protect us. Allahumma ameen. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.